CliffCentral.com.
What the?
Hello, everybody. It's the 20th of December.
Woohoo!
Yeah. You could get the goosebumps because Christmas is just around the corner. Yes, it is. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Are you feeling festive?
Oh, yes.
You're wearing festive green today, I see. Very nice.
Yes.
I don't know. I noticed a lot of very trendy outfits with you lately. Very, very smart stuff.
No, you're...
Maybe I've just looked like properly. You know, sometimes I don't pay attention.
No, you see...
With you, I notice stuff, though.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gareth.
Yeah, okay. You're looking good.
Thanks.
No. She was about to not take a compliment.
Thank you.
She was trying to find a way out of it.
she was like looking for the door. You could see it's like a trapped animal. She was going, oh my God, where do I get out of this?
Thank you very much. Right, I am wearing a green halter neck dress today.
Beautiful. Ooh. Very, very nice. Always accessorized beautifully with just the right jewelry.
A necklace.
Yeah, you got an important meeting after this. You want to tell us about?
No, I'm just feeling. You know, I'm feeling myself.
Feeling myself. Yeah, feeling myself.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. So, where should we begin today? We got today and three more shows left. Yeah, it's pretty much today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and then we're done for the year. I can't believe it's already the end of the year for us work-wise. And if you were wondering what's going to happen while we're away, we got a couple of people standing in, so we'll have some different stuff, a little bit of variety for you, and that all of that on cliffcentral.com, on touchcentral.com, a bunch of music shows and some other stuff coming up there too. Exciting times. And then we'll be back on the 9th of January on cliffcentral.com only.
Yes, because everybody deserves a break.
Damn right. Even us. Even though we're terrible people.
Oh.
We deserve a break just as much as the rest of you.
Doesn't Ben leave us today?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is his last day, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of which, Ben has been working on some Christmas songs, and we actually have a few of those to start playing with today. It's going to be very exciting. He's written some Christmas parodies for us. So it's your favorite Christmas songs. Are you excited about that?
I'm nervous.
I mean, it means that we have to sing, so I'm also nervous because us and singing.
Don't worry, we're gonna start them tomorrow, because I'm not yet in the most festive. I'm feeling festive, but I'm not ready to sing Christmas carols yet. I'll get there tomorrow. I'll be there. John says good morning, loving the show. Karabo says, hey guys, can we agree how MT kills? Hooks, nice song, cool album by Dumi. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's very good.
Yeah, I think MT picked up a few awards at the Hip Hop Awards last week as well.
Mm.
You know, he's kind of everybody's talking about him.
Didn't Nina Hasty host it? She was here with us. She's such a strange human being. She was here with us and she didn't tell us that she's going to host the Hip Hop Awards. She's hanging out here. We're talking philosophy and all kinds of other crap, and she just fails to drop in that she's. I mean, that would be like you meet someone, because the Hip Hop Awards are quite a big deal, and she was hosting them. That would be like me going to a family outing and not telling them that I'm engaged to be married. You know? She's so strange. Well, we didn't really talk about this much yesterday, but we had a little end-of-year function the other night at the Grand, and it was well-behaved. We were very civilized. Had a very nice meal.
It's a very civilized place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, the food at the Grand can also be overwhelming because there's so much variety. You almost don't know where to start or what to take.
Right. And, you know, I still get people who say to me, but how can you eat food at a strip club? Gross. I've never been there, though, so I wouldn't understand. It's very special.
It's
magnificent.
The food is also, you know, it's not. I mean, they don't lay the buffet like on the stage right above the poles.
Exactly.
It's the strippers, a completely different area.
Yeah, they don't have the strippers carrying around trays of the stuff. You know, relax. The two are separate spaces. But it was pretty special. And they do make incredible stuff. I mean, you will never walk out of there hungry. If you are, you're an idiot. Because your eyes, if your eyes are open, you will find something to eat.
Man, everything is there.
Right, we've got someone on the line who wants to complain about the food at the Grand. Yes, sir, go ahead.
All right, I know who this is.
This guy's always unhappy.
This is an angry guy.
About everything. All right, thank you very much. I'm sorry we couldn't help you. But
for as long as we've known him, he's just been
always
so angry.
Yeah. Just a misery. Okay, I've got to play you something, and we might as well start with this. I got so much stuff for you today. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Joe Rogan. He had a guy called Dave Rubin on who also does his own podcast. Two of them were talking about why they think Trump won.
Okay.
I just thought this would be interesting because it's such a different take on why Trump won. I found myself nodding along, and I kind of agreed. Now, it's a long show, but I've chopped out about 2.5 minutes, which is worth listening to. So Joe Rogan's the first guy. He's talking about his theory about why he thinks America swung to Trump. And then Dave Rubin's the guy he's talking to. They're both comedians, I suppose, and they do their own podcasts now, which is the way to go. And listen, by the way, before we even get into this, everybody's telling me they're all doing podcasts now, which is great, and I'm very happy about that because we produce, upwards of 40 different shows a week here on cliffcentral.com, and I'm very proud of that. But anybody can do a podcast. I mean, you could sit at home, you and your dog, and you could do a podcast.
Mm.
It would probably be terrible, but there are some people who do amazing podcasts. These guys are great examples. Joe Rogan's podcast, I think it's the most downloaded podcast in the world. And well done to them. It's superb. He sits and talks to the same person for almost 4 hours. In each podcast.
Wow.
Now, I mean, I don't have the attention span for that, but sometimes he gets these amazing, amazing guests, and he really delves deep with them, which is where some of these theories come from. So, you know, when we talk about podcasts, there are good ones, there are bad ones. This is one of the best ones in the world. And we're trying to advance the cause of podcasts here in South Africa because we believe it's the future. I don't see a future where people aren't going to listen to exactly the stuff they care about. And I don't think most people care whether it's live or not.
No, I mean, it's especially beneficial if you can listen to it in your own time.
Right. And most of the people who listen to this show do. They're not idiots like us who wake up at 5, you know, come in here and schlep every morning to be here before the sun comes up. Ben was sitting on the pavement this morning like a homeless man when we arrived.
Shame. There was no key for him to get in. Yeah,
there's nowhere else to go.
I didn't have a key. My buddy drove right past him. Ignored him. Yes, you did.
No.
Did you arrive before him?
I arrived before him, so I didn't see him arrive because I was sitting in the car and I was...
The thing is, she sits in the car beside you, sit on my bike. That would look even more pathetic.
I was going to park right where you were sitting, but I was going to, then I would have had to drive over your legs.
And then, then throwing coins at me.
Well, I would have had to drive over your legs. Then you'd be on a skateboard for the rest of your time as a homeless man.
Yeah.
So here's Dave Rubin and Joe Rogan. They're talking about why they think the American election got so crazy and why they think so many people, instead of doing what many people regard as the sensible thing and voting for Hillary, who, you know, is a real politician and she's got experience and all the rest, and they chose to just screw the system and go with Donald Trump. Listen to this.
I've been saying for a while that I think Caitlyn Jenner created Donald Trump. Not really, but created this thing. I mean, I think there was a tipping point.
Do you believe this so far? Just stick with him. It's an interesting theory.
And for me, it was when they gave her Woman of the Year on Glamour magazine, and then ESPN gave her Athlete of the Year.
Yeah.
And remember that ridiculous thing that they did where they circled her house with a helicopter, and she was hiding behind the curtains, and it was all mysterious. Like, what in the fuck are you selling? Like, what is this? And for people at home that are, like, in Indiana, and they're drinking beer, and they like football, and they went to watch the ESPYs to see, you know, like, who won Best Quarterback of the Year, and they're seeing that kind of shit. They're like, what the fuck is this? We need to make America great again.
Yes. You know, I never linked it that specifically, but I think you're totally right. Even right now when I've been watching, you know, NBA season just started and I love basketball. Every time I turn on TNT now, it's Barkley and Kenny Smith and Shaq and Ernie Johnson talking about race. They're not talking about basketball. They're talking about race. They're talking about policing. Those are all important issues to talk about. But people go to sports for the release. They go to sports because they care about the athletes and what's happening on the field and in the boxing match, whatever it is. And now everything is becoming politicized. So mm-hmm. ESPN is giving their athlete of the year to Caitlyn Jenner. It makes no freaking sense.
Well, that was a deal.
Why are the NFL ratings down? You know, it's because people are talking about Kaepernick and politics instead of sports.
Does that make the ratings go down, really? Is the ratings down?
Well, the ratings are hugely down in the NFL this year, and a lot of people are linking that. I don't know it empirically.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Isn't that interesting? So, first of all,
hard to argue with that. Huh?
Like, there are two things going on here. So, first of all, Rogan says that he reckons that the reason people have just lost their shit is because Caitlyn Jenner, she's just ridiculous. She is the most ridiculous person in the whole universe. And yet, there is this. There's this politically correct part of the world that believes that she really is the most amazing woman of 2016. And have you noticed how quiet Caitlyn Jenner's gone? Either she's getting some work done on the whole cock and balls, or she's just decided, whoa, this is enough. I've realized I've made a mockery. Because, you know, a lot of transgender people have been saying, well, she's making a mockery of us because of all the attention seeking and all the rest of it. And really, the Kardashians have all spun out of control because they can't beat that. Like, you can't beat Caitlyn turning into a woman for a story, right? If you're that's why Kim Kardashian, she's been very quiet since the robbery. I think they put the Keeping Up with the Kardashians on hold until the end of the year because she also had like a breakdown. Kanye's in mental hospital. The guy's gone cuckoo because he's like, how do we beat that? How do we beat Bruce? Bruce has won. And I think a lot of people realize it's a bit of a mockery. Like, imagine ordinary America. Look, again, I'm going to get into shit for this, but this is worth telling. Like, we went to this the first gay wedding. My parents were there. My sister was there. My brother and his wife were there. I was there. The whole family was there. Went to this gay wedding. So my dad he's in his 60s, all right? Mm. He doesn't know gay weddings. Very open-minded. He goes to this thing because he loves the two guys are getting married. Loves it. But then after the day afterwards, he says something innocuous at breakfast, you know, oh, gay wedding, blah, blah, blah. I hope we're not going to go to too many of those. And my sister loses her shit with him.
Yeah.
And he didn't mean badly, you know, he's just an ordinary 60-year-old guy. He doesn't have a reference for that.
And your sister does.
Oh, she was like militant about it. So in the same way, like imagine you're in a family in the Midwest of America and Caitlyn Jenner's on TV winning Woman of the Year, and she's got her penis pushing against the front of her dress. You don't tell me that doesn't mess with your head if you're from, you know, rural Arkansas. Yeah. You see what I mean? And then they're like, well, we're going to have to fix this. This is out of control now. You know?
Because people also don't want to feel like they're losing control.
Right.
And when things don't make sense around them, they feel like they are losing control of the situation.
Right, so this is probably the way. And then, Ben, this issue of sports and the ratings and how sports become, in this country, it's even worse in some ways, about race and about politics. Sport used to be the refuge that you would go to
exactly, where
you could get away from that shit. But thanks to people like Fikile Mbalula, now people who used to love sport are having to find other places where they can ignore just to get away from politics. Mub said it yesterday. We're so sick of politics.
Yeah.
Right? These politicians have wormed their way into everything we do. So listen to these two. Tell me you don't agree.
Sports.
Does that make the ratings go down, really? Is the ratings down?
Well, the ratings are hugely down in the NFL this year, and a lot of people are linking that. I don't know it empirically.
I wouldn't be shocked. There's a lot of people in this country just have zero tolerance. I mean, it's almost like separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Like they would like their sports to just be sports and about sports.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of appreciate that in a certain way because it's like if you were watching a comedy show and all of a sudden during that comedy show they started deeply discussing religion. And
right.
Like really like discussing deep intricacies of different faith-based cultures. You'd be like, what the fuck am I watching? This is not comedy.
Right. Dude, it's funny,
exactly.
Sure. But once
you
turn that thing and now you're doing something else.
Right. You're doing a different thing. Like, yeah. You're not doing sports. You're doing race relations or you're doing. But I understand that it's also they look at it as a platform for our culture, and that's what Kaepernick did. He said, look, I have this platform. And in some ways, I think what he did kind of worked because a lot of kids in high school now are doing that. They're taking knees in the national, you know, when they do the national anthem. It's strange. But it's also like the black Like when people had the black fist at the Olympics, mm-hmm. were those dudes that did that in the 1960s?
70s, I think it was 71 maybe.
Was it 71?
Or, yeah, something like that, 72. But
whatever that was, I mean, that got people talking. This gets people talking too, and maybe sometimes you need to kind of inject some sort of something to think about.
Yeah.
During
all right,
sporting.
And you know where they're going with this, but I mean, that's that I thought was it was quite an interesting point of view. And I've been wondering, too, how did we get into this? Because it is pretty funny. But Caitlin has released an album. Have you heard about this?
No ways.
Yes.
A musical album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take a listen.
Are you ready to rock out without a cop? It's the new album from Caitlin Jenner.
I can't stand my penis in my pants. I can't stand my penis in my pants.
Caitlin sings today's biggest hits.
I'm only one ball away, then I'll be a full lame day.
And who can forget this classic?
I don't walk like a man, I don't talk like a man, I'm no longer a dude.
Caitlin Jenner's greatest hits, out now.
That's great.
Walk, no car.
Isn't that lovely?
Still not making effort with the voice, huh?
No, not really.
I like it.
You like which one was your favorite? I'm only one
no,
ball.
No, the pants, the penis in the pants.
Can't stand my penis.
Can't stand my penis.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, I like I'm only one ball away. I mean, that's beautiful, right?
I'm only one ball away. Then I'll be a full lady.
Come on,
Trevor
bring it on.
Got a thing on me. Hey, I'm only one ball away.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. So there we go. A little bit of Caitlin for you this morning. All right, when we come back, we have the news. We'll check in on some sport. We'll get to Anthea. Oh, it's going to be a busy morning. Busy, busy, busy. Busy little bees. That's what we are. Stick around. You know what to do. You can call us 0861-555-189. All right. It's the weekend with False Alarm. Ben was just saying this guy's really clever.
Why?
Yeah, tell us why, Ben. Well, this of course, guy, I know why, but
I mean, look, this guy's music, he does all that sultry, sexy stuff, and then he sure. does all that I'm going to bang all them bitches stuff, and then he does this, like, angry white boy music as well, like that song. You can just Smart. Imagine people in Greenside, like, half headbanging to that while crying into their black labels because they don't actually have any real black friends.
Oh, that's beautiful. Do you know what I
See,
saw?
But, like, The Weeknd can do that. That's how cross-dimensional
Very
he is.
Very versatile.
I saw a fake hipster beard for sale yesterday.
I don't understand.
You could buy a fake hipster beard so you could fit in with the hipsters.
Oh, okay.
And you could go to Newtown or Greenside and hang out with them.
Nice. I think that's a solution to us. People can't grow a beard. I can join Movember.
Who is this? Oh, Lucas. Hey, Lucas. Oh, my. I thought it was the voice of God. Sorry. Lucas standing in for Flax this morning. What was that? I didn't even hear you while I was busy looking to the sky to see what God wanted. What did you say?
I'm saying at least now I can join Movember. I don't know if
you Oh, please. Yeah, you could buy one of those clip-on beards. Movember. Movember's got nothing to do. They all tell you that it's to do with, like, raising money for cancer and stuff. Please, it's just a chance for hipsters to get some attention. They don't get any the whole year round, and then their stupid mustaches finally get some. And by the way, no woman in the history of humanity has ever gone, well, I'd like a little more mustache with that one, thank you.
Well, hang on.
Really?
There are some men who pull off who pull off beards better than others.
Well, the guys have to hide their whole face.
And so with some guys, you will tolerate a beard because they actually make it look sexy. Okay.
My ass is stuck.
But, Mubs, it's because they're good-looking. People think that they're suddenly going to go from ugly to good-looking because of a beard. No, you're ugly.
Right. Not everybody.
I'm with Ben.
Not everybody makes a beard work, is what I'm saying.
I'm with Ben.
Just think, like, Ryan Reynolds was covered in blood, even the Amityville Horror, and he had a beard. And then you get some guy with, like, no chin going, yeah, but Ryan Reynolds looks so good in that movie. I'm going to grow a beard. Yeah, but you still got no chin.
I'm with Ben on this one. Sorry. Beards are horrible. They are just horrible things.
Look, they're not great, but with some guys you can let them, you can forgive them for it.
Look, I'll admit this. There are some people who they look kind of distinguished. They look like they,
yeah, sure.
I can't explain it. It's not necessarily, and it's a matter of taste, obviously. So some people that will love it and think it's very hot and think it's very sexy, and I do agree with you that there are women who are into that. But I do think that it can look really shabby and dirty and greasy and disgusting, and you know, not all beards are winners.
Especially when it's half ginger, half whatever your hair color is.
Very strange, very very strange. Not everybody's cup of tea. So you do what you want to do, beardy people. I'm not going to get into trouble now with the beardy community because you know they're very sensitive.
Too late, Gareth.
Yeah, oh, they're probably going to kill me.
They're going to come around here and spray with beard oil.
Yeah. Lucas likes it. All right.
Yeah, Lucas, you have to oil that fake beard of yours.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before.
If you don't have a certain smell around those places, they'll kick you out.
Nobody gives a shit.
What?
Nobody gives a shit.
No, people do. All right, let's get into the news, for heaven's sake. I mean, how long are we going to take to get into news? Right, Mubs? You're trying to be, you're trying to keep your sense of humor together here, and we're wasting your time.
Ach, you know what? It's the last week of the show. I'm not going to be strict.
All right, well, how about I get some discipline going here? All right, everybody, it's time for the news. The news brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Here are the headlines.
La 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 la.
Okay, thank you. We will begin with...
What an introduction.
I mean, how can you top that? We will begin with the Berlin Christmas market attack, where a tractor trailer barreled into a crowded Christmas market in Berlin last night, killing 12 people and injuring 48 others, at least. Those are the most recent updated figures. You know, some news reports reporting different numbers, so... those numbers also possibly likely to change because the 48 injured people in hospital, some of them have serious injuries. Now, witnesses...
Anyone killed?
12.
Oh, my God.
Witnesses said that shoppers screamed and dropped their bags and, you know, they kind of just...
I heard the story last night, and now when you said people injured, I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe nobody was killed. Mm-hmm. I got it wrong last night, but no, unfortunately, that's... True.
Yeah, the officials, of course, investigating the crash as an act of terrorism. After a tip, Berlin police arrested a man on foot about a mile and a half away from the crash, and authorities say that they're working to determine whether he is linked to the case.
No.
Okay, so Ariel Zurawski, he is the owner of the truck company, right?
Yeah.
He said that the truck was carrying a steel shipment, but that it may have been hijacked. The truck's regular driver is Zuraski's cousin, and he said that he couldn't have been behind the wheel. He said that my scenario is that they did something to my cousin and hijacked this truck. Yeah, witnesses saying that, you know, there was no way that this was an accident because the truck kind of arrived out of nowhere and it didn't slow down, it didn't stop, and it just plowed into people.
Oh, it's just horrible. I don't even know what to say with these stories anymore,
yeah,
you know?
I also don't
like,
know
I'm almost
say.
Numb to it. It's like the Syria thing. And, you know, what I hate are these people who start moralizing to you on social media and they start telling, I mean, you care about Berlin, but you don't care about Syria. Both, I just feel numb. The whole thing makes me... And then the Russian ambassador, did you hear this story?
Yeah, that's my next headline, yeah.
How did this happen? Listen to this.
Okay, so the Russian ambassador to Ankara, right? He was at an art gallery and giving a speech. There was a man who was standing behind him while he was giving a speech. He was smartly dressed in a black suit and tie, standing behind the ambassador as he made the speech at the art exhibition. He then took out a gun, shot the ambassador from behind, and all of this unfolded right in front of cameras, right? So there's
you can see the live footage.
Oh, yeah, you can see the live footage.
It's horrific. You want to see an assassination? If you're one of those people who's into that, you don't need the Zapruder film for this one. It's all there in stunning HD in front of all the news cameras. What a shocking, horrible, uncalled for, and disgraceful situation it is when a diplomat can be killed at some exhibition by some lunatic. I mean, these people are maniacs. Who are they?
Well, there is a video apparently showing the attacker, and before he, you know, shoots the ambassador, he shouts, "Don't forget Aleppo, don't forget Syria."
I mean, really?
The ambassador involved, Andrei Karlov, he's the man that died, and the president, Vladimir Putin, has since spoken out after the assassination of the ambassador. He said that Karlov's killing was designed to tarnish Russian-Turkish ties, as well as detract the government's bid to bring the Syrian civil war to an end.
Well, you know Russia's going to be furious about this now. You watch Russia get really, really angry. They're going to unleash hell.
Which, you know...
That's just going to lead to more deaths.
It's just going to lead to more problems.
So, well done, genius. You just created another excuse for Russia to keep on doing whatever they want to do in the Middle East. I don't know why the hell Russia's involved in the Middle East in the first place. I don't know why anyone is. Everyone just pull the hell out of there and just leave these people alone. They've suffered enough, right?
What do they have to gain from being involved? Because
in Syria?
Well, no, but this is
nothing.
A valid question. What does Russia have to gain?
It's power play.
Having pushed their noses in there.
It's power play. It's purely about who's in charge of the world.
Yeah, but
who's the big swinging dick? This is what happens when you have men in charge, by the way. If there were women, if these countries were run by women, you'd never have this. Women don't have dick-sized competitions like this, like Vladimir Putin swinging it around. Oh, this makes me so... can we move on? I hate this news. I really do. Like, at this time of year, we want to have good news. We want to hear about people doing nice things for each other. We want to hear about orphanages receiving gifts and stuff. You don't want to hear about some Russian ambassador who gets killed cold blood on TV. The people of Aleppo, and you see that disgraceful stuff that's going on over there. I mean, people climbing through rubble like it's the Middle Ages. It's been attacked by dragons and stuff. Mothers crying. Children who've forgotten how to cry. They've been in such pain and torment their whole lives. It's just so appalling. And then Germany last night, in Berlin of all places, a Christmas market. You imagine families. Some lunatic he barrels into the crowd with a car.
I'm fatigued.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about this. It's just so horrible. Anyway.
Well, look. It might not exactly be the good news that you're looking for, Gareth, but the ANC have welcomed...
Thank you for coming to my rescue with an ANC story. Well, something fun to laugh at today, right?
Well, listen, they have now welcomed the resignation of SABC board chair Professor Mbulayeni Maghuru.
No way.
Yes, it happened.
No. Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. Get out of here for real.
It happened yesterday afternoon. Professor Maghuru has willingly, of his own accord, stepped down. He has resigned.
Oh, my God. This is a call for a hallelujah.
Okay.
Well done, man. You finally found the reasons.
Hallelujah. Maghuru, 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 hallelujah, Maghuru, hallelujah.
Oh, isn't this great news? Happy Christmas, South Africa.
Parliamentary spokesperson Moloto Motapo said, "We welcome the resignation of the professor.
Yes.
It is unfortunate that his conscience has taken long to speak to him
right.
And in the process caused damage."
What a lot of damage. But you know what? Since he's going, let's kick him out of the door. Let's help him along. Let's kick his ass right out of that door.
No, he's already walking out. Why must we kick him now?
Because he deserves it after waiting around so long. What was he hoping would happen?
So there's officially now no board.
Dummy.
He was the last remaining board member.
There wasn't a board while he was sitting on the toilet. You remember Justice even said he's sitting on the toilet at home. And he calls a board meeting.
You know, guys,
It is not fair for us to let Maguve go without that halala. Halala, Maguve, halala.
All right,
halala.
You want one? You want a halala?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, let's throw that in there from his other compatriot who still doesn't know that it's time for him to get the hell out.
Halala, my freestata, halala.
Halala.
Halala, Limpopo, halala.
Yes, halala.
Halala, Gauteng, halala. Halala, KwaZulu Natal, halala. Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Very good. All right, well, there's some good news for you today. How about a little bit of sport?
Yes, how about
a little bit of sport? Here's Ben with a look at what's going on the playing fields. He's going to start with cricket, aren't you?
Indeed, Gareth. So, India, England, we all know what's been happening here. England have been, just drilling the English. Drilling them. And, yesterday it was probably the height of the embarrassment. So, we all know that England are all talk and no trousers, really.
Yes.
But yesterday they got absolutely slammed by a guy called Nair.
Yes.
Now, Nair, in his third test, scored 303 runs. 303.
That's amazing.
When England go over 300, they're like, oh, this is amazing as a team. He scored 303 runs.
All on his own.
There were 380 runs scored yesterday.
Wow.
Which is the highest ever on day four of Test cricket.
Yeah.
Now, these Test cricket stats are just incredible this year. So, 380 in one day by India, that's just outstanding. It was the seventh most of all time in one day. And this Nair, well, he got dropped on 24 by Cook. Sorry, 34. The rest of the...
That is very rude. Why are you calling someone a Nair?
Well, well, I tell you what, when Cook dropped him on 34, they were calling him a Nair as well. So he was dropped on 34, went on to score 303. He's the seventh youngest to ever score 300 runs. But just think, it took Jacques Cullis like 140-something tests to score 200 runs, okay? Jacques Cullis, the greatest cricketer of all time.
Yeah?
This guy, three tests, he's scored 300 runs. Huh. It's one of those things you don't see very, very often in your lifetime. And when it's against England, well, even better. So England were so chuffed with their 477 in the first innings. Well, India scored 759 for 7.
Uh-huh.
Of course, is their biggest ever total, the sixth biggest in Test cricket. 282 the deficit. They're currently 30 without loss, just basically looking to stay at the crease for the whole day. And this is their final day of tour, so they can't wait to get back home to the cold weather and where people don't just hurl abuse at them. And
well, that's nice.
Yeah,
good for them.
Oh, that looks nice. Yeah, so that's on at the moment.
Explain what you went. Oh, that looks
Because I bet money on Alistair Cook to be the first guy out.
Ah, you see, he's still doing these sports bets.
And I tell you what, he was dropped in the slips.
I hope you and Danielle have already paid some of the holiday stuff in advance, because if you carry on with the sports betting and you start losing, she's going to have to come home early.
I told you, all done in advance.
Really?
I'm a responsible adult, Gareth.
All right, I'm just checking.
In other cricket news, 7 Proteas have been retained in the IPL. Now, I don't know if this is much of a story, but I'll go with it. So the IPL basically has all these teams. They pay lots of money to have these foreigners come and play in their country. And then there's an official auction just before the thing happens next year. So only 7 Proteas have been retained, but the other guys can't get picked up. So if you're a Farhan Behardeen fan, yes, you out there, he can still be retained by another team in an auction. But in actual T20 news is happening now. The Big Bash League starts today. So the Sydney Thunder will take on the Sydney Sixers. And that'll be at 10:40 South African time, if you're into that kind of thing. Lots and lots of football to get through. Yesterday, Liverpool, well, it was 0-0, which was great, Gareth, just if you were wondering, because I did bet in that game too.
How did that go for you?
Well, I bet in a draw. And after 93 minutes, it was looking good. 94th minute, Liverpool score. And with that, they won the game. They won the Merseyside derby. And they go to second on the log now. So they jump over Man City, and they are behind Chelsea, the all-impressive Chelsea. And Liverpool, well, you know that they're a good side. You know they're going to go somewhere. They've had a couple of injury worries, but they always have that one game where they go to someone like Bournemouth and lose 4-3 or something like that. But to win this one at Everton is always a big deal. There's more red cards and yellow cards in this match than any other Premier League match, because the tensions run so high. So Everton, well, they were just hanging on for all they could last night. Liverpool were always the better side. So that 1-0 result is probably fair in the end of the day. The English Premier League will now resume on Boxing Day. So when you're nice and fat and hungover on the couch, you can watch a whole host of fixtures. Because this is the great thing, is that these guys, they keep playing. So we always go on about the fact that they earn way too much money.
Yeah, but they have to work on Boxing
Day. They've got to work through the festive season.
Yeah.
They've got to work. Because they've got to earn it. And they're earning it through festive season, New Year's Day, the whole deal.
I'm sorry, did you say they got to earn it? Yeah.
They're going to earn it.
Yep, that's what these footballers do.
I got you.
In local football, Orlando Pirates, they play tonight against Bloom Celtics. Now, Pirates have had a bit of a shit run of things. They've only won two of the last PSL matches.
I know Pirates people busy burning their jerseys.
Yeah, just really.
They're not having a good time.
I think despondent is probably the right word to use because they've been angry, they've been frustrated, now they're just despondent.
And some of them are even bored, dare I say.
Well, there's that too.
They're bored. There are a lot of people who watch football, they want to get excited about it, but it's just become really, really predictable.
That is why people have second teams in England or La Liga.
Yeah.
Or if Bayern's doing really well, the Bundesliga. Yeah! So they'll take on Bloom Celtic tonight. That'll be 7:30 for your viewing entertainment. Highlands Park will take on Platinum Stars at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And then Maritzburg will take on Wits. Now, Wits, they won last weekend. So they're looking to basically cement this spot at the top again. That's all at 7:30. And that'll be your football for tonight. Not a whole bunch more sport, but I've got a couple extra stories for you in the next hour.
Yes.
All right, fantastic. We'll get to Anthony next. You know what that is, the money shot. That's where we take a look at all the ups and downs in the stock market. We take a look at currency. We take a look at commodities. We take a look at international stock markets. Everything you need to know. And I got to tell you, if you get stuck in with Invest Now, I said this on Twitter yesterday and it got a great response. Don't buy your kids a dumb present.
Yep.
Some truck that they're going to break. You know, my nephew has so many toys. I don't think he knows what to do with all these toys.
You know, parents are actually doing this thing out there now, legit. You can rent toys.
Yes.
Companies are renting toys.
That makes sense.
Oh.
Because kids get bored of the toy so quickly.
So what happens if you rent a toy and your kid breaks it?
Yeah, well, obviously, this is where they make the money.
Okay.
Because you're a dumb child.
Because those stupid children.
Your idiot child's going to break the toy.
No.
Bite it. Yeah. Stuff.
Kids break toys. That's what they do.
Yeah. Kids could break an anvil. You know how hard it is to break an anvil?
Can you imagine rather renting a toy for 20 rand a month, you know, that gets consumed by just general cash flow, rather than going on and buying it for like 500?
Mm. Right. Here are two comments quickly before we get to Anthea. Inati says, you two don't have a beard. Shut up. Means Ben and I, obviously, because Mabali doesn't have a beard.
I could have one tomorrow if I wanted.
But you know that, right?
I don't also have a beard.
Yeah, neither does Lucas. He's just letting you know, Inati. You son of a bitch. Funda says, good morning, everybody. Last week at the Gareth Cliff Show, let's make the best of it. We'll call you to wish you happy holidays on Friday, team. Well, thank you, Mfundo. He's one of our super fans, really. Mfundo's been there from the very beginning.
Mm.
Much love from Durban, baby. Yeah, love to you too, man. All right, when we come back, Anthea with a look at the money shot. That's on the way.
O'Neill. We'll establish who tells the worst stories between men and women. I've got Rose on the other side. Rose.
I went to a book review and yeah, I actually enjoyed that. It was so informative.
Teddy, what's up? Are you good?
I'm good, man. You?
Tell me about your day today.
I ate pussy in the morning. I ate pussy in the morning. I came to work.
I rest my case. Women are horrible storytellers.
O'Neill. Weekdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Touch Central.
All right. Are you ready for Anthea? Are you?
Huh?
Oh, punk, are you?
So this is a Christmas song that me and Will have compiled to celebrate the festivities.
Right,
I'm actually going to get bullied for this. What the flip?
Come on.
The Christmas song.
Yes, we need a Christmas song for Anthea. Go. Come on.
I'm in my house. My house is about to fall off a cliff. I need a new house.
How many people have had this bad a year?
I need more money and ad revenue. I need someone to help.
Anthea, can you help this person?
Oh, no.
Anthea, are you there? Hello? Hello.
Good morning, Chris.
Oh, hey, what happened to you? Did we put you to sleep? With that horrible song?
Well, I think we've got a...
Yeah, we get the worst Skype connection in the universe. Do you want to try on the phone line, Lucas? Let's see if we can't get Anthony on the phone. Have you got a number? Anthony, are you okay there on that side?
No, it's a very bad line, so we keep breaking up.
Okay, call her up on the phone. Yeah, this is a terrible line. Are we rerouting through Kazakhstan?
I'll just try again. Sometimes we get those, you know, those slack lines.
How does that happen? What, is everybody phoning up their relatives for Christmas? Skyping their relatives in for Christmas?
It's one of those things you do as a human being. You press stop and start again.
Yeah.
It's like with machinery.
Yeah.
Hello, can I speak to Aunt Mabel, please? To Aunt Mabel, hello?
Hello, how are you, child?
I'm well, thanks, Aunt Mabel. Happy Christmas.
Thank you. What is this newfangled device we're using to communicate?
It's called Skype.
Skype? Oh, what are... But it's on the computer.
Yes, that's where Skype lives.
Who is the Skype?
It's a device, it's an app, and you can see me and I can see you, and we're using up all the bandwidth, so Gareth can't talk to Anthea.
Oh, how terrific. Who's Gareth and who's Anthea?
Come on. Oh, dear. Goddamn battery's not
working. Oh, dear.
Oh, it's done anyway, all right? Let's get to Anthea. Is she on the phone? All right, let me try this. I'm so easily distracted today. It's ridiculous. Hey, Anthea. All right, let's try this. Better?
Good morning, Gareth. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear now. I'm sorry. That Skype line was horrendous.
It's very bizarre.
All right. Well, do you have good or bad news?
I have good news today.
Yay!
Yeah, we managed a little half of the same bounce yesterday. I mean, even volume traded was over $1 billion. So I thought by now it would have fallen off completely, but I guess a few people are still working.
Right.
We started the day very strongly, actually, and then kind of slipped away a little bit. Resources were a bit of a drag on performance, but at least financials and industrials managed to hang on to earlier gains. We had some decent performance from Steinhoff, Richemont, Mediclinic. And then another stock that's caught my eye is Ann Arbor Busch.
Mm-hmm.
So the shares fallen about 21% in the last couple of months. But it seems to be doing okay now. You know, they're moving fairly quickly to dispose of the businesses they were forced to get rid of by the Competition Commission, like both locally and abroad. You know, they announced that they were selling their Pilsner Urquell business to Asahi, the Japanese business,
right,
brewer last week. And then also PIC are buying their 26% stake in the Spell for 9 billion rand. So it's one I don't own at the moment, but I'm seriously thinking I either want to do some more work or watch closely, maybe one for the new year.
Okay.
And then while I'm on the subject of acquisitions and delisting, Pitman, which is a junior miner, mostly they're exposed to the steel industry. They'll also be delist shortly. They're being bought out by a Johannesburg-based private equity business called Capital Works. So just it's a shame, really. I don't like seeing shares kind of fall away off the exchange, you know. The whole point is to have a liquid and fully functioning exchange.
What would be the advantage in these businesses to delisting?
To be listed, there's liquidity, there's the ability to raise capital from the stock market. So that's in fact exactly why businesses go list, so that they can raise capital to expand their
businesses. No. Why would they delist?
Oh, sorry, delist. So that's because it's a private equity business and they don't want shareholder interference, if I should be so bold as to say that. They want to reorganize the business. They don't want to be worried about the share price, because when a business isn't doing that well and the share price is depressed, then it's more difficult or more expensive to raise capital. And they'll just do that through the private equity business. So private equity businesses generally delist, hopefully to turn the business around.
Yeah.
And then they relist invariably, inevitably, make the private equity business a lot of money generally. And this, we saw the same thing with Alexander Falls, you know, kind of, I can't remember when they delisted, probably 14 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went private equity, turned the business around, and then relisted 2 years ago.
Right.
And that's so they relist when the private equity business kind of wants their cash that they put into the business back. You know, that's a way of it for them to exit this turnaround strategy, as it were.
I'm fascinated at how, you know, certain companies list and their price is very high and other companies list and their price is very low before they've even really been tested by the market. And then you usually have those very quick drops and those very quick accelerations. How do you determine when you list a company what the price of a share is?
So partly it is a valuation done by the company and external auditors and obviously the bankers. And partly it's demand. So Dis-Chem, for example, is a very good example. When Dis-Chem listed about a month ago now, the valuation that the auditors and the bankers did was, what, 18 rand. We thought it was not cheap. It wasn't, you know, they weren't giving us this fantastic bargain listing at 18 or 1850, wherever it was. But the demand from investors was so high that it pushed it up to 1850 or whatever it was that it listed. And then even when we thought it was expensive at the listing price, investors still went out and bought it and pushed it up to 22 rand something a share. So, the stock market's a funny thing. It's not just about the numbers. It really is sentiment driven. And when we talk about price earnings ratios, so think about it this way. If a company is trading at, say, let me think carefully about this. Let's say it's trading at 10 rand a share and it's making 1 rand per share in earnings. That means that it's going to take 10 years for the company to make in earnings what you've paid for this share. And so it's on a PE of 10. And so somehow the market thinks it's okay to buy shares that will take them 10 years to repay kind of in earnings. But actually what happens, like Mr. Price was always the perfect example because it always traded very expensive relative to other retail businesses. But so because it was expensive, it doesn't mean that the share came off. In fact, the share just kept trading higher and higher and higher. It was what we call perfectly priced, or I call perfectly priced. And so what we do as investors is we're almost always pricing forward. We're pricing into the next year, the next 2 years, the next 5 years. So not where the share is trading today, but where we think it's going to trade in a year or 2 years' time.
You know, it's interesting. And then if it does badly, obviously, your price earnings ratio calculations go crazy, right? If suddenly the share drops massively in value, and you mentioned Mr. Price, then it hits people hard because then it means you have to put off any kind of earnings on that initial investment for even longer.
Exactly. So if you think a share is trading or making 1 rand in earnings, you think management is good, kind of they've got all their logistics right, their good expansion program, and you think, well, next year, if we have inflation at 6%, they should make 1 rand 6 cents in earnings, and if they're able to do some good deals, something that's earnings accretive, maybe they'll make 1 rand 20 in earnings next year. So you're buying into the future of the company, which doesn't always pan out the way you want it to. That's the difficult part about the market is why I, even though I do a lot of the numbers, I do put a lot of emphasis on management. I want to know that management can deliver the earnings that I think they are capable of delivering.
All right. Anything else you want to tell us?
Yeah, I want to talk about this rand for a bit because it's still trading a bit weaker. It's about 14.13 to the dollar, 17.52 to the pound, and 14.71 to the euro. So it's incredible to think that the difference between the rand dollar and the rand euro is only 58 cents now. I mean, it's a good combination of dollar strength and rand weakness, really.
Right.
And I probably shouldn't quote it only from a rand perspective. The U.S. dollar-euro exchange rate is now 0.96. So in other words, for every dollar, you get 96 euro cents. Have I got that the right way around? No, it's the other way around, isn't it?
Say it again.
So for every dollar, no, it is right because it's
No, it made sense.
Yeah, you get 96 euro cents.
My math is terrible, and I still understood that.
And a year ago, that exchange rate was 0.72.
Mm-hmm.
And at about the same time when the euro dollar, or I should say dollar euro actually, was 0.72. The euro rand was 15.17 and the dollar rand was 11. So there was a 4 rand 17 cents differential just 2 years ago. Now it's only 58 cents. And I think if Europe doesn't pull up its stocks, we might see this dollar euro go to parity, so go to one, which we haven't seen since 2002. You know, 14 years ago was the last time euro or dollar euro was at one.
So that's obviously bad and good for both countries, right? I mean, ultimately, it will mean that you get one for one in terms of trade.
Absolutely. So for the dollar, it's good for the American tourists, obviously, and anything they buy from Europe.
Right.
For the Europeans, it's good for their exports.
Right.
So their exports are suddenly cheaper. They'll get more demand. Yeah. So hopefully that'll help them a little bit, because it seems that Europe really does need a bit of help. Kind of the sixth cousin. And then U.S. markets were higher again yesterday. Uber reported yesterday. They reported a loss of $800 million. For the third quarter of their financial year.
Sure.
And this is despite making revenue of $1.7 billion. I mean, this brings their total loss for the three quarters to $2.2 billion. And at this rate, they so easily hit $3 billion loss for the year.
Would you buy Uber?
No, and it's interesting you ask that, because these valuations are, you know, they're thinking of listing. The valuations are incredible. The company is valued at $69 billion, which is higher than the combined market cap of General Motors and Twitter. that is not a cheap stock.
If I were one of the directors in Uber, and we listed tomorrow, and this company's worth, what, $60 billion, and I decide, well, this is the best it's ever going to be, and my $60 billion, let's say I have let's say I have a 10% share in that. So I take out my $6 billion immediately. Like, I cash out on the stock exchange. Can you do that?
You can.
Because that is probably the best deal you could get. Like, you list immediately, you cash out, you say, all right, my 10%'s gone, I'm selling it. You sell your 10% and you get your $6 billion in cash and you're out.
Okay, so what you'll find with these companies, because if CEOs did that, then investors wouldn't invest in their companies, because there's a hint in that, right? There's a clue in that.
Sure.
So what you'll find is that the CEO probably earns 20% and that he will sell 10% to the market and keep 10%. And so, yes, you'll get his.
So he'll get a nice payday.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
And he gets to show that he still very much believes in the business, blah, blah, blah.
By holding a big chunk of his wealth in the business. That's exactly right.
I got you. All right, Anthea. One day we'll have these conversations for real.
I look forward to the day.
All right. Very good.
Thanks, Gareth.
Cool. We'll chat to you tomorrow.
Indeed.
Excellent. Thank you. Anthea Gardner, if you want to know more about #invest, some people were asking me yesterday, just email invest@cartesian.co.za. That's CARTESIAN. Cartesian.co.za, and you can find out more, or you can go and check out the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. Coming up next, I will tell you the final election results for America, because the Electoral College spoke out yesterday. They all went, and all the electors who are mandated by the different states to vote for the president went and voted yesterday. There were a bunch of Hillary supporters who were really hoping they could turn the election around at this last moment. But it didn't happen. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty of that in a moment. I saw Trump was tweeting and Instagramming up a storm. So that'll give you a clue as to what happened. All of that news and the rest all on the way, 9 after 7. TouchCentral.fm for the last 4 days. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. CliffCentral.com.